Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bikini and the Brain. I'm here, of course, with the lovely Ashley Kaltwalzer.
Hey.
That was due to request of last week. Someone asked for
really?
They asked for your charms again.
I forgot about that.
I know. Someone asked for it. They're a longtime listener.
Well, there you go. That one's for you.
There you go. And who's this do we have in the middle here? None other than Courtney Starr, who just made her pro debut at the Arnold Classic in Wellness.
He's the clapping one.
Oh, I don't have them listed. I don't know which one I'm going to pick. There's only 8 of them.
Oh, my. Well, anyway, clap, yes. There we go.
Okay. So, welcome to the show, Courtney. You've been on once before, yet?
Yeah, actually, it was this same Monday last year.
Nuh-uh. Seriously?
Yeah. I think, like, to the date, because it was... We did the post-Arnold one after I turned pro last year.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, welcome back then, I guess I'll say.
Thank you.
So today's episode, we're going to be covering kind of, you know, going from NPC to IFBB, the big change it's going to make, how awesome of an experience, of course, it was. I mean, what a crazy thing going your pro debut at the Arnold. I mean, there's no like better way to do it, right?
I don't think so. It was an unreal experience. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. And for all of you looking at going pro and wanting to get that pro card, I think that that's one of the best options there is because it's going to be hard because the Arnold Classic, going pro at the Arnold is going to be hard. But the next year you get to debut at the Arnold Classic, or at least you get to do the Arnold Classic if you debut before that. So it's just like a cool thing to do. And there's no kind of other way to guarantee you'll ever get to the Arnold besides that, because you could go your whole career, maybe not get accepted to it. So it's just a cool thing. You get pretty much guarantee yourself a spot the next year. So.
So congratulations on that pro debut.
Thank you so much.
So that was such an epic show to do the pro debut. And I think we were talking last year, I was like, you know, if it were any other show, like I would say, well, you know, might as well try to compete at least once as a pro once you freshly get your pro card. But man, to save it for the Arnold Classic, I think is worth it. Like you can't get a cooler pro debut than that, honestly.
Yeah, I agree, especially this year was it. I think it was even more so because of the way that they offered the free live stream. So when we were backstage, they were saying, you know, and of course this just made me more nervous, but they had 80,000 people pre-registered to watch the Arnold Classic. They were expecting somewhere in like the 400,000 people live streaming it internationally. And so it was just huge. The expo was huge. The fact that he offered the free live stream and then the big announcement at the end where they're upping the prize money and he's starting to compete with the Olympia. It was just such a crazy year for the Arnold Classic itself. So getting to be part of that and just be backstage and with all the people, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. And the wellness class was loaded this year. I was not expecting that kind of talent to show up. The wellness girls really showed up for the Wellness International, more so than any other division, I think. Like you guys had like some of the top Olympians there. So, wow. How cool was that to compete right next to them?
It was awesome. And I think there's no better way to when you're trying to, you know, everybody has a different intention when they turn pro, but I would like to make it to the Olympia one day. And I want to be a really competitive pro. And there's no better data that you have with what work you need to do than standing next to Miss Olympia and the runner-up and other girls that are in that top 5, top 10. So from like a value standpoint, I could very clearly see where I needed to improve, what I need to work on, you know, how far away am I really from being that competitive pro? And Francilia was really nice to me backstage. Aww. I got to hang out with her a little bit. She was telling me about when she won the Arnold Classic back in the day. And I felt like I got to connect with Bruna a lot, who's another local pro. So I was able to enhance a lot of those relationships with other pros and introduce myself. And it was really awesome.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. What an experience. So what is that you notice standing next to them in comparison to you? If you're giving yourself a fair evaluation, what do you think you need to work on then to be like able to qualify for Olympia? Like how far are you away from that?
Well, the number one thing in my feedback after the show was conditioning. That's the number one thing that separated me from getting a higher spot immediately. But from the front, I was pretty comparable in size. But then when you look at our quarter turns, when you look at us from the back, I definitely need more size in my glutes specifically. So more glutes, more hamstrings, especially in those quarter turns. So I do have some muscle to build, I think, before I can really step on stage confidently as a pro. And in that immediate show, though, it was definitely, I mean, conditioning is kind of all over the place in pro wellness anyways. Like, I wasn't the least conditioned when on stage, but there was a pretty clear, even for people who aren't, you know, super into bodybuilding, there was a pretty obvious delineation between, I would say, your top five or six and then your bottom five, six in the conditioning department.
Yeah. And some of that, I think a lot of people don't understand too. I'll run into this with bikini all the time where a girl will want to get her tie-ins to really show up. And she's like, I just need to be leaner to get my tie-ins. I just need to be leaner to get my tie-ins. There's a point where the reason that your tie-ins aren't showing the way that other people's tie-ins are showing is because of just muscular development. And so when you look at some of the girls, you know, and I see, especially in bikini, they want to get super shredded. So their tie-ins show up and all the detail shows up. I'll tell them, if we get you that lean, you're going to look super skinny. Like, you're going to look stringy if you get that lean. You're not there. This is just an example for a bikini girl, especially. Most people listening to this are bikini. So when you have more muscle, the muscle will pop through even the body fat a little bit more. So like you see today's bodybuilders, they're always, the old school bodybuilders may kind of rag on the new school bodybuilders these days. I'm like, oh, you guys don't get as lean as we got. And the new guys are like, well, we don't need to get as lean as you got because we're bigger than you. We look just as lean, even though we're not as lean, because we have so much muscle popping through. Like, why would I get leaner than I need to if everything's fully strided and fully showing? So same thing with wellness. You know, it's, I don't think that your conditioning is significantly off of those top girls, but your, the size of the muscle, because it's popping through, it looks, you will look softer. You'll look like you're not as lean. So your options are, yeah, get a little leaner. Do you have the muscle to support that, or you look too small, right? Because you run into that, muscle does take up, body fat takes up size. So you will look bigger when you have some body fat. And then, you know, if you get rid of all of it, then how, what are you going to look like then too? So that's part of it. It's, you know, developing, and it's for all you bikini girls out there that want your tie-ins to show up the way you want them to show up. It's a lot of it's conditioning, but a lot of it's size, you know, a lot of it's just development. So
good to know. So for funsies, I usually, sorry,
I just thought it was funny. No, I laughed. Funsies. I liked that.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. So for funsies, I always like to kind of make a mental note of everything I did good in my show and everything that could have been improved. Have you given thought of like what you did good and you're proud of yourself, and, or maybe you even exceeded your expectations versus what you need to work on besides conditioning?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple things that I did really well. And for those of you guys who watched the live stream, when they were doing the call outs, Sandy threw some new stuff at us.
And really?
I didn't
catch that.
Okay. So here's what happened. I'll tell you the story.
Give us the skill.
It's wild. So we're going through, we're doing our quarter turns, and we're walking to the back. And I can't remember, but it happened at pre-judging and at finals. So they say, ladies, go ahead and walk it to the back of the stage. We are all walking slowly towards the back of the stage. And as we're walking, she goes, turn around and walk it back once you get there. Like, we didn't hit a back pose. There was no turn and face the front. Like, we're actually physically moving towards the back of the stage. And then they're saying, walk it back to the front once you get there. Normally they would at least hit a back pose and then say, turn and walk
You're
it
right.
back sometimes. Yeah. But no, I remember being like, I heard that and I was like, did I hear that correctly? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to send it. And I did. I will say I was like you. I was like, this is like an Ashley moment for me. I stepped forward into a pivot turn over the shoulder. I held like a transition, like the S pose for half a second, kicked right into my front walk. It didn't throw me off at all. It was seamless. Those transitions, even though it was something I'd never done before on stage, I never heard it. We've been practicing posing a lot here on like Fridays and stuff. And I listened to it, I responded, and I was the first one back at the line. And I felt like that was like my best presentation moments is when they were calling that out, because it was smooth as butter.
Oh, good. Good yeah. stuff. So they threw a curveball, but you were able to handle that. So in the shows, you know, sometimes you got to expect the unexpected. They might do something like that, try new things. Yeah. You just got to be graceful and just go with the flow.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny. I was at a show once and this happened. I don't remember who it was that was judging, but the judge got mixed up, and it was a figure show. Like it was pro figure too. And the judge got mixed up for a second. And she's like, okay, ladies, walk it to the back. And it was figure though. It was a figure pro show. And everyone in the audience is like, oh, like, it is just like the same thing. We're like, oh, they're doing this now. Like, I was like, wait, like, I looked and I'm like, when did this start? You know? And then the girls just like instantly, like they kind of looked for a second, like what? And then, but they did it. Like they instantly did it. And then they got to the back and then she walked him back. And then the judge goes, I don't know what I'm doing, guys. I'm sorry. I thought I got mixed up with bikini. And everyone started laughing. It was like a funny moment, but it was cool to see, like, they didn't flinch. Like that pro level, like these things could happen, you know? That was like the funniest one, but I was like, so like, oh, and these girls didn't even like, they didn't even skip a beat, you know? You just gotta be ready for it. Cause who knows, maybe it was close. I guess in a scenario, I mean, I guess if the scenario was right for it and you couldn't tell, like it was so close, you had to walk them or something. Like maybe that's what they were thinking. So it was funny, but it's cool that you did that. Actually kind of ballsy that you did that too, because most girls, especially a rookie, would wait to see how everyone else responded. Like if I was walking and someone else, I would be like, okay, wait, did I hear that right? I want to see someone else do it first. Like, but you were first to turn around and just go for it. Cause if you hear that wrong, you're kind of stuck out there all by yourself.
Let me just back up real quick. No, I mean, yeah, it was weird. I've never heard that before. I don't know if that's something they're going to start doing. I don't know if it's just because, you know, when you look at the first call out wellness girls, I don't think they did the same thing. They did judge them. They hit their back pose when they got to the back of the stage and they were judged there. And it was a little bit more, but for us, yeah, I remember I was moving and they did it again at finals. So it kind of reaffirmed because the prejudging in finals, it was the same call. So I don't know if that's something they're going to start doing, but it was two different times and I could tell other girls were kind of fumbling. Like, do I hit my back pose? Am I facing the front? And I was very smooth with
it. I guess it makes sense if they are going to good to listen to for bikini, because who knows, that might come at you guys this year too. Cause I guess technically it doesn't really make that much sense to have them pose in the back pose when you think about it. It's like, you're already
farther away.
Yeah. It's farther away and they're already doing it. So why do it from farther away again? I guess it does make logically, that does make sense to not do that, right? Why would I do it from 20 feet farther when I could just, yeah. So I guess maybe that's going to be a thing. Yes. Logically, it does make a lot of sense, actually. So
remember, there was that one show that they didn't walk bikini or my bikini class at all. Remember?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, makes it easy.
And then there was that one year at the Arnold too, where they had that little stage.
Oh yeah.
Where they couldn't walk you guys really, because it was like the stage was like as big as the desk, basically, like as wide as a desk. So yeah. So yeah, you just got to be prepared for whatever they throw. It's good that you practice, because that, and that's a good thing for all these listeners too, is you got to be practicing.
Yes.
Yeah. And you got to be listening. Got to be listening. Got to be practicing. Got to know your number. How many times do you see people not know their number on stage?
Every time there's at least one or two girls that just forget what their number was. And then they call them to be switched and they look so confused. Like, So yeah, just pay attention. So what else do you think you did really well that you kind of surprised yourself?
That's honestly the main thing. I definitely cleaned up my presentation for finals, and I'm really proud of the improvement from prejudging to finals, because I thought I did everything I could to prepare myself for being in front of an expo, being on a live stream, and like the nerves. And I just remember standing on the ladder and I kind of peeked around the corner to look at the crowd, and like my face just went, oh no. Like I just went blaze, like, oh goodness. And I thought I did everything I could to prepare myself for that nervousness. And I was a little bit rushed through my routine at prejudging. I was nervous. I wasn't really controlling my facial expressions. Like you could tell that I was being shy or nervous. And like my face wasn't like negative, but it was just like, I was maybe alarmed.
Yeah.
I don't know. So from the improvement from prejudging to finals was noted by the judges. Edel and Tyler told me that it was really significant. And, the other thing that kind of goes with that is when I went to Pittsburgh, one thing they said I really needed to improve is like my rotating my hips in the walk and being more like extra with that. Mm-hmm. And I was also specifically complimented on really good job with your front walk and your back walk. So
that's good.
That was a good feeling too.
Especially at a show like that to get that. Cause usually it's really easy to stand out. It's really easy to find someone who's not an expert at an expert show. Cause you stand out so much more, you know? So your walk, if you're getting complimented, it's like amplified. Because at a show where there's not a lot of good walkers, then yeah, of course you could look like a good walker. But at a show where everyone's like, you know, top tier, then you get a compliment, then that's like, hey, we noticed that. Usually you'd notice it for the wrong reason. So good for you. Cool. That's a big spot. So
Thanks. The other thing too is makeup, actually, but I didn't do my makeup.
I liked your makeup a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, that was V, the makeup artist. She absolutely killed it. I would say that's probably the best stage makeup I ever had. And I really, really liked what she did there. So even though that's not technically something I did, I made a good call with getting my makeup done professionally by that person. So
good. Well, I'm glad. Yeah, that was really good that you know that. And next time you go to another show, you can book her if she's available, hopefully. And because I know some makeup artists, like, maybe don't even look good on your face, like their style, but you found one that works. So that's good.
Yeah.
You learned some nuggets this show, you know, lots of nuggets to be learned. What else did you learn?
So the other things that I learned is, you know, when it comes to the look, mm-hmm. I tried really hard to like be perfect and kind of do things that I've done in the past that worked for me. Like, I've always had really blonde hair on stage, and I've always, you know, like, I've always had a little bit of a darker spray tan. And this time there were some very, very, like, what I would say are kind of like rookie things that could have been better or that were very noticeable to other people, to the audience. It's like, wow, her tan's darker than everybody else's. Like, my hair, we cut it before I got on stage and it was still touching the back of my suit. So just little things like that, that's like, dang it. And of course, you talk about it on here all the time. And you guys are constantly like, it's one thing to know the information. And that's why there's this concept of simple, but not easy. This is why it's practice. These concepts that we're describing on here and that you hear Adam and Ashley talk about all the time, it is very simple. And you're like, yes, I know what to do. And then when it comes to the execution and you're doing it and it's show day and you're nervous and you're rushed, it can be easy to miss those things. So I definitely, you know, I'm looking forward to another opportunity to clean up those things, because those are things where I'm just like kicking myself a little bit.
Well, the good thing is they are easy fixes, but you know, even me, I compete a lot and I still make silly mistakes because, you know, like you said, you know it, but executing it isn't always the easiest, especially if you have like 200 things you're already thinking about, like, I got to make eye contact, I got to smile, I got to do this, I got to make sure my conditioning is good on this day. There's like so many things to think about that sometimes these little silly mistakes get overlooked because you're focusing on the big things, you know?
For sure. And I think that does get better with reps, because, you know, it's been a year essentially since I got on stage, and, you know, figuring out like what look is best for you and how to present yourself the best on stage with your posing, with your look, with your hair, with your makeup. Like, I'm definitely going to, you know, I feel like you want to look really pretty and have that show look and that stage look, but you still want to be able to recognize yourself. And so those are things that I'm going to like really try to work on going forward is, you know, I mean, I've never had them accidentally spray tan me too dark. I will say that. That has never happened. But you know what? When you're pro debuting at the Arnold, you know, the one spray tan you get that's going to be too dark, of course it would be that. So sometimes I'm like, man, maybe it was just bad luck, you know, or it's hard to say.
Well, with every show, not everything's ever going to be perfect. Never. Yeah. You know, even shows that you might win with the perfect score, I'm sure that person is like, oh, I could have done this better and this better. Even for me, like, even shows that, like, even my best showings, I have things, little things I can pick apart and be like, oh, well, I could have been a little darker in my spray tan. I could have moved my hair better off my shoulder when I was transitioning, every little thing. But, you know, I think you're obviously your worst critic, as we all are. So those little things might be important to you, but maybe not noticed. With others, like, for example, you were telling me about your prejudging presentation that looked rushed in your facials. I actually saw your prejudging because Sam showed me it, and I thought that was the corrected one, the good one. And so it, to me, to my eyes, I'm like, I don't see anything wrong with your prejudging. Like, I would not have noticed anything wrong with it because I thought the one she was showing me was the finals, like the touched up one, but I guess not. So it, you know, I think especially since it's such a big show, obviously it means a lot to you, as it should. So you're overly critical of like maybe little things that no one else noticed.
That actually makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yes. It wasn't that noticeable to anybody. And, you know, those little things that I'm talking about that like it's hard not to dwell on. I'm so glad that if there's one thing, you guys, you definitely want to stay for judges' feedback, because I stayed after the show. I waited backstage. I got to talk to a couple of the judges, and they were able to say, you know, yes, your spray tan was a little bit dark. Yes, your hair was a little bright and threw off your contrast a little bit. But those are things like it didn't affect my placing. They said in order to move up right away, you know, if you would have brought the presentation and the look, they said I did look a little bit better, a little bit harder. My lines were popping more at finals. And if I would have brought that to prejudging, could have bumped me up one or two spots. So that was really nice. And those little things didn't really affect my placing at all. It's just things for photos and presentation and better shows that I could take going into the future. So that also made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to know too, going into this like high level show. Cause when you go as a rookie to the high level show against the best in the world, like you're kind of, and we talked about it in the office here too, where like Courtney was like, well, I don't expect to do anything at this show. I expect to like, you know, I'm totally fine with getting last. Like these girls are the best girls in the world. It's my pro debut. But you actually beat a couple girls and they even were in the talks about coming up a couple spots. So that's a good sign. You know, it's a good sign that there's a lot of potential there. You beat a couple Olympians, you know, and that's a nice W right there, you know?
It is. And it does feel really good to know that like I was the underdog. I've never competed as a pro. Everybody in the show, I think all of them, I know at least one of the girls that I did place above has been to the Olympia. So I almost had this imposter syndrome going into the show. Like, man, what if when I won my pro card, it was just a weird year. And what if I don't actually deserve to be a pro? And then I'm just going to, you know, go to this really high level show and I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. And those were like my concerns going into it. And that was just pressure I put on myself. But I feel more like because I didn't get last and, you know, I could have even been like in the middle, you know, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's, you know, I am where I belong, but it's the imposter syndrome is real. I don't know, if, you know, how I imagine a lot of people would feel that, but it was, I wasn't even sure if I really deserved to be there all the way, even though I did the track, I earned the spot to be there, but that was something that was definitely on my mind going into it. And I feel much more validated in where I stand as like a pro and representing the sport and where I want to go forward after having that experience.
Good stuff. So what is your plans going forward? I mean, are you said you wanted to fix these little things that might be bugging you. Do you plan on doing this year or going back into off season? What's on the table for you?
I'm considering a show that's pretty soon here. There's some local options that are wellness pro shows. I'll only do it if I'm able to bring that tighter conditioning and look the way that I want to look. So I haven't really made any final decisions yet, but I'm looking at it because I would like the opportunity to, you know, like polish my stage presence even more. And like I said, just kind of fixing those little things where I'm like, man, I could have really done a better job there. But at the end of the day, for bodybuilding for me and when I'm getting on stage to compete is to be competitive. And the physique always comes first for me. So if my body responds and I can bring a tighter physique that I'm proud of and be like, wow, okay, I look more competitive than I did a few weeks ago, I would definitely do it, but only in that scenario.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of the people listening to this too, because a lot of the bikini girls that we work with would eventually want to go to wellness. That's definitely a thing, a discussion for a lot of these girls. I don't think that they realize how long it takes to go that. You've been competing since 17, right?
My first show was in October of 2016.
16. Okay, cool. So 2016, and then you didn't get to be too big for bikini until 2 years ago, was it? Three, maybe two?
Maybe two or three. Yeah, 2020 I was, and I would say it was 2021 when I was okay. A little much.
So that was 5 years in. So 5 years. So a lot of bikini girls are like, yeah, I want to do wellness next year. And like they're like their second year in lifting. And I'm like, yeah, you got a ways to go before it's too much. And you kind of know, like I run into the problem with bikini athletes when I know it's an issue. You know, when someone's having to not work out to make the size for bikini, when they're not lifting legs anymore, they're like, my legs will get too big, and they start hating their workouts. All they're doing is cardio and dieting basically to keep the size off of them. It's not a fun time for a lot of those girls that get to that stage. And then that's when you know, okay, maybe I should consider going up a division to like wellness because I'm not enjoying my workouts. I'm too big for the class. It took me 5 years to get there. Like it's a longer process than I think people realize it is. It's to get to that wellness level of muscle. And especially when you see like the upper ranked girls, you're not getting girls that are, you know, 20 years old in the upper ranked girls. It takes years and years and years to get that muscle. You know, you're seeing that in bikini now too, because it takes years and years and years to get the glute fullness and tie-ins to show up like that too. But just for all of you out there that are getting kind of anxious and want to compete in wellness next year, and you just started lifting a couple years ago, you probably got a little bit longer ahead of you for an average genetic person who doesn't just rapidly put on muscle. It's going to take you, you know, it's going to take you quite a long time. 7 years, pretty normal. So
what was the moment you knew like, oh, wait, I'm way too much for bikini. This ain't working. I gotta upgrade. What was the moment for you that kind of sparked you to go to wellness?
I was competing at nationals. I think I did a couple national shows and maybe it was the end of 2021. And when we were all lined up like backstage, a lot of the girls that were in my same height class were talking about like their stage weight and what they were doing going into the show and, you know, kind of like their coaches and their cardio, like everybody does. And I was standing back there and I didn't feel like I looked significantly bigger than some of the other girls. But I mean, on stage show day, you know, my stage weight was like 25 to 30 pounds heavier than everybody else's in my class. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I get everybody is different and we're all unique and everybody has a different like body type and the weight honestly doesn't matter. The judges can't see it, but there is a point where it's like, okay, you guys are within an inch of each other. Like if somebody's 20 to 30 pounds heavier, there's something, you know what I mean? There's something and you know, you're probably going to be too much. And I went from getting first call outs a couple times at nationals that year into the last show, which was the national championships in December. I actually got bumped down into the third call out. So it was like bikini, first call out, first call out, first call out. What felt like I was barely missing my pro card in classes of 20 or 30 girls to I'm way heavier than everybody on show day. And I just got moved down into the third call out.
And not only that, was that at the point where you were purposely trying to stay small?
Yeah. So at that point,
so you were like 30 pounds heavier and trying to be smaller. You weren't even just like, let's just lift like crazy and see what I look like. You were trying to tame it down.
That was no quad training. That was limited compound movements. That was hours of cardio. That was very low calorie diets. Yeah. It was a lot of suffering.
Yeah. And it was, you know what we were finding too, when I was like, you know, was when she was training, the weightlifting that she was doing was minimized. And I think that the body fat, to get the body fat off of you was harder with the minimized weight training too. Like it was harder for you to get leaner, even though you're doing more cardio, less calories, because the weightlifting was gone. So
yeah, I think that's true. It's like, you know, everybody, like you look sweet with a pump. That's why people take those crazy photos in the gym and stuff. And so it's like, if you can't lift like that, and if you can't train and you can't pump blood to that muscle, like hard, it doesn't look the same. It just doesn't look as good.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a difference of someone who has really been maxing out their workouts like every day for a year to get on a national stage to a girl who's not lifting to get to the national stage. Like the amount of, I don't know if it's just like the glycogen that's stored in the muscle and the roundness of the muscle, the density of it or whatnot. There is just a different look to it, you know? And so, especially nowadays when they want those round, full, dense, bikini competitors, not overly dense, of course. Yeah. It's a definite disadvantage. So it makes sense for you too. And as some of the things to look at, especially if you're in like wellness, is all these optics of wellness, you know, too, is like if your upper body, and that's one of the things that your feedback is, your upper body is just a little bit bigger than everyone else's. And that makes your leg, because your upper body is a little bit bigger than everyone else's on the stage. And your legs are a little bit smaller than everyone else's on the stage. That illusion is closer to balance, right? Because your upper body is closer to your lower body. So in wellness, that's another thing, is the illusion is greater than it actually is. When you see some of these competitors, Bruna's a good example of that because she looks like a bikini competitor up top, which is what wellness is supposed to look like, but her lower body is wellness. So even though you see her in person, she's not like crazy huge. When you see her on stage, you're like, oh, she's got huge legs, because the illusion of upper to lower is so significant. It makes the lower body look even bigger. So the bigger you are up top, it'll make it look closer on stage and your legs won't look as big. So it's like standing next to a really small guy, you know, you look big. Standing next to a really big guy, you look small, you know, that type of thing. So standing next to, you know, upper body a little small, your legs are naturally going to look bigger. So wellness is a tricky thing in its art form, in its own way. Bikini, it's like you do that with certain like muscles, like you do it with like limbs, you know, you'll do it with your shoulder to arm ratio is going to be a little bit off to have the illusion of the shoulders being bigger. You have, you know, the glute to quad, the hamstring to quad ratios are different, you know, so, and everyone's is different for each girl to create that perfect sculpture, but wellness is its own beast, its own work of art. So it's cool to have that and to see that feedback. When it's on stage and you're on next to these really high level girls, it's really obvious, you know? So,
and just hearing your journey, Courtney, it goes to show you too, like genetics weigh so heavily in our sport. And Adam, I remember when we did that seminar like last month, when someone asked about like what division you know, how do you decide what division you're in? And Adam was very honest. He said, you know, genetics are going to play a big role in which division is best for you. And then we had this one freaking coach trying to fluff talk everyone and says, well, if you try hard enough, you know, you can do whatever division you want.
Yeah.
And gosh, that sounds real nice, right?
It sure does.
Sure sounds real nice. Good motivation right there, but it's fluff talk. I hate fluff talk. Let's be honest. Technically, I guess you could do whatever division you want. Like technically I could be a woman's bodybuilder, but I'm not going to be a good one. Technically I could do wellness technically, but I'm not going to be successful. And, you know, no matter how hard I try, how much I lift, how many calories I eat, I'm never going to look that way because my body's more suited for bikini. So, you know, although wellness might sound like a good idea for you, you got to ask yourself, do you have the genetics for it? Because it's very important. Whatever division you do, it's really hard to fight your body and your structure, no matter what. For the girls that are trying to be smaller and fit into bikini, Courtney was having a hard time fitting that mold. And for the girls that are trying to upgrade into wellness and beyond, it's going to be hard. Like it's way more genetics than what people like to think.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can't try, but you know, let's be real.
It's also depending. I always like to tell people it's based on what you want to do too. So if you just want to be a local level wellness girl and you're suited for a bikini, but one day you want to win an overall in wellness at a local level, I say, yeah, go for it. Do it. But if you're saying, hey, I want to be Miss Olympia, I'm like, no, that's different. You're not going to be able to fight them at that level when they're naturally made that way.
Yeah.
Like it's too big of an obstacle to overcome. Like you can, yeah, locally have fun, do your thing. You might get one, you know, even though you're more suited for a bikini, but when we're talking, oh, hey, I'm going to beat someone who was like made that way and I'm just going to do it based on hard work. And I'm like, no, you're not going to do it. If you're wanting to go there, you need to really analyze your physique and decide what's better for you. Now, guys is a little different. You know, I think that's where it like, cause that coach was coming from, because every division in guys is bodybuilding. There's not a division that's not. Men's physique is bodybuilders in board shorts. Classic physique is bodybuilders that are aesthetic and not as big as real bodies. 212 is bodybuilding, and then bodybuilding is bodybuilding. So you have like
the one that's most different, honestly, is open bodybuilding, because you can just get as huge as you want.
I mean, men's physique now is like bigger than Mr. Olympia, like Frank Zane was when, you know, like he'd be too small for men's physique now. So like every division is bodybuilding for the most part. It's just how big of a bodybuilder, how aesthetic of a bodybuilder. Like obviously you've got a really wide waist. You're gonna have to really fill that frame up and do a, you know, do bodybuilding, but even men's physique as they're jacked these days, you know? So the avenue is a lot different in men because they are, the entry level is a bodybuilder, you know, and it's just a bodybuilder in board shorts. Even though, yeah, everyone's gonna argue, like, well, it's different. The aesthetics are not as big. They're not as big, but they're still bodybuilder big. Like there's not a winner of a men's physique pro show that can walk around on a beach and not everyone be like, that guy's a bodybuilder. Like it's not a male fitness model look. It is a bodybuilder look. So when you're talking that way, yeah, it's just a little bit more muscle for a guy. It's like a little bit more, it's a little different. But when you have women's divisions, and that's why there's so many more of them, is totally different. You know, you have women that are bottom heavy. You do wellness. You know, maybe their joints are a little bigger on their lower body. Maybe their hips are too wide for bikini. They do wellness. You know, you have girls that just don't have the pop to their glutes, or they don't have the hourglass curves. They have the X frame. Well, then they have figure that's more suited for you. You have a wide clavicle base that's too wide, maybe looks a little bit too wide for bikini. Well, you got figure for you, you know, you have more curvy body. That's more bikini, you know? So it's like there's so many divisions for women. And so it really does come down to, how am I going to attack this with my structure? How do I build muscle? How many years do I have in? What's my end goal? It's a whole analysis, you know, it's a whole analysis of where you fit, which is a reason I always say, you know, go to these posing workshops too. If you're kind of one of those tweeners, you know, you're right in between bikini and figure or bikini and wellness, like talk to a good coach, talk to a good judge and be like, have an open conversation with someone who's going to be honest with you too. Cause it is tough to have those honest conversations. You got
these fluff talkers out there.
It's so, I hate that so much. Cause you're setting them up for failure. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you could do it. And you like can clearly see, oh, she'll never be anything past whatever division, or she's clearly made for wellness, and why is she trying to do bikini or vice versa? Like you need to set them up and just have that conversation with them. I've just done it so long that I just say it how it is, and most people appreciate it. And then some people of course hate it, but it's important. You're setting them up for success. So if you are in trying to make that decision, go to a posing seminar, talk to someone who's going to be actually honest with you. That's a high level coach or judge or something, and have those discussions. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen to that for sure. Or if you could just, dream it, you could achieve it.
Yeah. If you dream hard enough, anything is possible.
You could overcome those genetics.
If you say, I think I can, so many times, you can do it.
Everyone could be Francioli. Every single one of you.
I could be the Miss Olympia bodybuilding.
You could do it, actually.
If I try hard enough,
you just need to try
and I
harder.
Believe in myself, and if you believe in me, Adam, and I take like one extra scoop of pre-workout, I'll be Miss Olympia in body.
I was thinking about getting bigger than Rami next week. I was thinking about it.
I mean, my genetics aren't suited, but if I try really hard.
I'm just going to try really hard.
That's even though I haven't been trying really hard for the past 10 years, you know.
Yeah, I know. If it was just effort, if it was just purely based on effort, you'd be past women's bodybuilding. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's another thing I've noticed too, is like, especially too with all the consults that you do with women, I feel like a lot of times when people are wanting to do a bodybuilding show or something, or, you know, maybe they just want to get in shape and, you know, maybe they're kind of like newer to lifting. They have this unrealistic idea of how easy it is to put on muscle. And I mean, still, I thought this was like very common knowledge that like lifting weights will not make you bulky. I thought that everybody knew and understood that concept, and I still hear it. It's like, they're afraid of getting too muscular in any one place. And we talk about it here because we work with a lot of really high level competitors, and it is possible to be too muscular, create imbalance in your physique. But if you're starting, like I get a lot of girls who maybe do want to start in wellness, or, you know, who maybe want to start in bikini, and they don't want to get bulky though. It's, you know, putting on muscle is just not that easy. And it does not happen by accident. No one muscle is going to grow like crazy without you intending it to.
Yeah, exactly. Sense. I wish it just accidentally accumulated. That would be great.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Accidentally.
Yeah. You're like, dang, where'd those glutes? Why don't my glutes? I can't believe my glutes got so big. I just worked it last week.
That one extra scoop of protein. Shoot.
The creatine that you added.
Yeah, it's the creatine for sure.
I get that on inquiries sometimes too. It'll be like, well, I don't want to get as big as whoever. It'll be like, Sam or you, or I don't want to get as big as him. Like you don't worry. We'll pull it back right before that.
Right.
It's not going to just like happen, you know? That's so funny. Yeah. Like I get that a lot too with, I'll get inquiries at girls that want to do bikini. And if it was 2000, you know, like anywhere between like 2000, you know, 13, 12 to like 18, 17, you could get to bikini shape in a pretty short amount of time, like less than a year from start, you get on stage, right? That type of thing. But now it's like, you know, a pro bikini physique. I mean, we're talking like a 5-year physique. It's not a fast physique like it used to be. I mean, if you're talking tie-ins, shoulder caps, you know, streamlined waist, good curves, like everything's balanced, good hamstring fullness. I mean, it's a pretty advanced physique. You know, bikini these days looks like figure used to look like with actually more glutes, you know, and actually sometimes better conditioning. Actually, better conditioning for the most part every time. So it's a different level physique. It's going to take some serious time to get there. So give yourself that time and understand this is a long process, even for bikini division, especially for wellness division, and you know, obviously assess your physique and see where you fit best. So
yeah, I agree with you guys. I think a lot of people have this distorted idea how easy it is to put on muscle. And I'll get asked sometimes, a girl will want to prep for her first show that's in 12 weeks, but they're not even lifting yet. Like you can't, before we got to put on some muscle before we start making them cuts, you know, because it's like we can get most anyone lean enough for a show within like 16, 20 weeks if they're not already overweight. Like if it's a normal body fat, probably lean enough, but it's not going to look right without the muscle. A foundation. So, you know,
yeah, for sure. If you're especially, I'll get those too. Like, be like, hey, I want to do this show in 16 weeks with my friends doing it, and they're not really even working out much at all, you know, or they might have like a home gym and they do something here and there type of thing. And I'm like, I don't think you understand what you're taking on. You're taking on the best bodies in your state. You know, it's going to be a eye-opening experience. You know, how like some of these girls competed at that show last year and have been working towards this show again this year with the whole work of like dialed in, you know, focus. So yeah, it's going to take a while, guys, but it's these days, you know, bikini is its own beast, wellness especially. So it's good that you guys talk about it, because I don't think enough people talk about how long that process is, but I'll get inquiries and I'm like, yeah, a year from now you'll be, you know, we can have you ready. A lot of the times they're very positive though. A lot of the times the girls are like, okay, that's what I thought. And then some of the times they're shocked. They're like, a year? Like I'll be like figure by a year. And I'm like, no, you won't be figure by a year. Sorry. And I'll get also unrealistic expectations where they'll say, I want to work out 3 times a week. I have a home gym and I have a barbell and some dumbbells and some bands. And I want to get round, full glutes and hamstrings. Like, I'm like, you don't even have like the, what it like in a rare scenario. Yeah. That could probably suffice for some people and they have the genetics to do it, but to get that perfect balance and fullness, like 95% of you're going to need a gym out there. So that's another thing too. So
good stuff.
Yeah.
So Courtney, what do you think is one of the biggest differences you notice between the MPC competing as an amateur versus IFBB competing as a pro?
So the biggest differences that I notice, which I feel like this isn't typical of a pro show, but like I went to Pittsburgh for the Road to the Arnold and I posed in front of like the Olympia judges and I saw the IFBB pro gym and I'm looking at all these like high level photo or people that are on the wall, like all these legends essentially just all over the place. So I've never in the NPC like gone out of my way to go do an interview for a competition like that. So that was a really cool experience and it was totally worth that crazy day of travel. And then the meet the athletes. So the meeting too, I've noticed, I think this might be consistent across all pro shows, I'm not sure, but the athlete meeting was a mandatory thing. It seems like with the NPC, even for a big show like the Arnold or national shows, they're not really doing athlete meetings anymore. But as a pro, they got us all in a room, they got everybody there, they talked to us about what was going to happen, what we could expect, what we need to do. They told us some like words of motivation. You know, you're looking at, you know, all the pros are there. So you're in a room with these people who like for me, I knew from Instagram or from social media, but I've never seen in real life. And, you know, just realizing that you're in the same room as them and you're on that level, it was absolutely wild. But the meet the athletes and people wanting to take photos and the table and my name is up on this name card behind the table. And that was insane. That was a surreal experience as well.
And if I were to answer as if I were you, I would also mention that the stage was much more epic than probably what you're used to. I saw how they had like everyone's photo in the background on stage. Maybe it was just for finals, but had your name and photo like in the background as you went on stage. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was for finals. So both, even the pre-judging stage was a lot smaller, but competing as a pro, I mean, even the longer routine, I did practice posing a lot, but I still feel like even with the routine that I did it, and I know you guys talk about this a lot because I know yours isn't as long as everybody's, but I felt like mine was a little short, which in comparison to everybody else, you know, that can be seen as like a positive or negative thing. I thought it was a positive thing because, you know, nobody like, I mean, I've watched pro shows and I've been like, okay, can we get on with it too? So I never want to be that person on stage, but I felt like the routine being longer when you're up there was definitely like, it felt like I was up there forever and mine was still shorter than everybody else's too. So that was very different, but yeah, the photos thing at finals, but that's not for all pro. They don't usually do that, right? For all pro shows.
It's more likely to happen at a pro show. It's happened at a few of mine.
Okay.
The production it's much more grand, I guess, but you're right. Not every pro show is like that.
Yeah. So it'll be pretty rare. You know, some big productions like that, like Japan is still like the most epic one, you know, that was crazy, you know? But yeah, no, it's pretty rare. But one of the things you were talking about with like athlete check-ins, that will be at most shows. You're going to have that at most pro shows, the athlete check-ins, which I always like that part. Like it's nice to see everyone, say hi, do all that, see all the coaches, the athletes, sponsors, all that. So you will have that at most of the pro shows. There's a couple that you won't. You just kind of like walk in, get your number, walk out. So you will have that more consistently. Yeah, a couple other takeaways from the Arnold. I mean, how did you... Like, obviously, you were a little nervous when you were there, but when you got out to the stage, did everything, like, come alive for you? Because, I mean, that's a pretty scary thing, looking at how big that audience is and how, like, grand it is, you know, in front of the expo. It was just, like, thousands and thousands of people. How did you tolerate that? How did you, like, deal with that?
So, at first, my face went kind of blank because I was really nervous because I was looking and I was like, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of people out there. And the live stream is happening. He gave us the whole speech like right before I went out there, like, oh, 400,000 people are expected to be watching this right now internationally. But I went out there, and as soon as I walked out, like, I heard people cheering for me. Like, we had a lot of Team Elite, you know, supporters. I had athletes who were there. I had athletes there who I've worked with in the past who flew in from Canada, people who flew there from Texas, people who flew there from other states to watch. I had a girl, I had a client drive 10 hours one way to go watch me. And I could hear them. I could hear them saying my name. I had friends who were watching the live stream say they could hear people screaming my name when I was on stage. My sister, she's very extra. She's very loud. She's a loud person, but I could hear her from the stage. Like, my mom was there. My dad was there. My real dad was there. So my stepdad, unfortunately, wasn't able to make it, but I had, you know, I had family, I had friends, I had clients. I felt the love. And as soon as I walked out there too, you know, anybody who's watching, who knows me, that watched the live stream, they could see that, like, I did look different than everybody else. Like, the hair and the tan was a lot, but I did see the crowd, like everybody looked at me. Like, I noticed, like, the crowd, even the people I didn't know, react to me a little bit differently. And it felt a little good. Like, it felt like positive, like, oh my gosh, there's this platinum blonde chick on stage. And it was like, I think as I went through my morning routine, I kind of like fed off that energy a little bit. And I did bring more confidence to finals because I felt like I looked more in place than I thought I did, especially after I could see the photos and people were sending me photos on stage from every angle. And it was just the energy from the expo and from my people and everybody, like clients and friends and family who came to watch. I seriously cannot thank you guys enough. You guys did. I did hear you on stage, and I hope you could see that I heard you, because it was epic and it made me feel really, really good.
That's good to know. Yeah. And going into the routines too and the posing. So we had a big seminar this weekend at our gym. It was a huge one. I mean,
oh yeah. Thanks for coming out, everyone.
Yeah. That was a really big, really good seminar. We had over 50 people at our gym. So, I think at the end of it, we probably had closer to 65 ish or something like that. 'Cause people kept trickling in towards the end. It was a longer seminar, but one of the things we did go over was the routines and how long the routines are and how they've shortened up a little bit and the reasoning for it. So, we've talked about it a little bit before, but the shorter routines, when you come out and you're doing these like really long, elaborate, you know, 90-second routines, especially in bikini and in wellness too, what the judges have told me is that when they first see an athlete come in, come on stage, they see them and they're like, wow, this looks great. Like, she looks perfect. But the longer they're on stage, that wowness factor kind of dies. And then they start looking for flaws. They're like, oh, well, she could be tighter, or she could be this, and that like wowness of it goes away. So I'm a big fan of the shorter routines. The judges are strategically, it's smarter for the shorter routines. And the judges seem to favor the shorter routine just based on just sheer volume. I don't think that's a factor at the Arnold, because there's only, you know, what is it, like 12 girls in a class, something like that, at the Arnold, 10 girls. So I don't, you know, taking longer there, it makes a little bit more sense, at least from judges sitting there watching 60 girls compete standpoint. But at a show like the Olympia even, I mean, it makes sense to do a shorter routine. There's 60 girls, like in bikini at least. What does wellness have in the Olympia? 30-ish?
There definitely wasn't 50.
Yeah.
Right?
I think 30-ish.
It was somewhere in the 30s.
Yeah. So still, that's a lot of time. If you're doing a 1.5-minute routine, 30 girls, you know, 10 seconds in between type of thing as you're introducing. That's a lot. You're talking, you know, 50 minutes of posing. So yeah, shorter routines, give the judges less time to find holes and get in, get out, leave them with a wow factor. Yeah.
Any other takeaways you'd like to discuss from the Arnold or your pro debut?
The other one is just after, you know, I got the best data standing next to some of the best in the world. That's the standard. That's what, you know, all the girls who want to compete wellness, amateur and pro, are aspiring to be. And the other thing that I learned and the other piece of feedback and why I feel really confident going into an improvement season is if you have good upper body development, like I said, I kind of did throw my balance a little bit. For me, my training is changing now. No more upper body. So I'm going to be doing heavy leg focus. Some people, we talked about the people who maybe don't train as much that want to build all this muscle, but there's also the flip side of that. There's people who love training and they overdo it, and recovery is actually the limited resource. So anything you're doing that's not directly supporting your goal is taking away from it. So I'm going to put 100% energy and recovery into training my lower body and just really, really focus on those deficiencies there. And 100% of recovery is going to be going to that. So I feel confident going into an improvement season with like a clear vision of what I need to do. So
that
feels good.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And I like what you said, you need to stand next to the people to really know how well you do and or how well you look in comparison, because we all look at photos online and we have a perception of how someone looks in person. And then you stand next to them and you're like, oh, wow, I'm too big or too small. So some of these things you won't even know until you step on stage. So, you know, photos can be deceiving.
Yeah. And that's one of the things we talk about too. We talked about it at that one seminar. It was like when you see pictures of Ashley and she's like show ready, like, you know, she looks jacked, she's capped off, lean, shredded. And then, you know, you'll see her with the right pictures and it just looks like crazy, crazy muscular. But then you see her in person and you're like, oh, she's muscular, but I can do that. Like, it's not unrealistic. And that's what we get a lot of times at these, like, meet the athletes, or when people meet Ashley or someone, they're like, oh, they're not as jacked as I thought, especially even with wellness. You get that a lot too, because the wellness is even more so. Like, the legs are look so big online.
Instagram is a wild place.
Yeah.
Because I felt like you said, I do need to bring up certain muscles, but I was very intimidated going into that show. I thought I was going to look a lot further off than I did. And that's the thing too. If you're just like, it feels good to know that, like, you know, you might find that you're closer to what you think you need to be or further away, but you cannot use social media as a gauge for that at all.
It's a terrible gauge. It's so bad. Because no one doesn't post their good picture. Who's going to post a bad picture? And even then you have no reference point of who's next to them, you know? So it's a nice thing to hear, because I think a lot of people, especially when we're saying, oh, it's going to take you 5 years to build it, it's not as far as it's achievable. It's not as far as you guys think. So I do recommend going to the expos at least a couple times. I'm going to these pro shows, seeing what the pros look like, getting next to them, coming to a seminar, seeing what Ashley looks like when you're next to her, because it's a nice experience. You're like, oh, okay, I can do that. might take me 2 years, but it's not unachievable. You know, it's not like jumping 15 feet in the air. Like, I can do this. I can physically get there, you know? So, So I guess with that, we have anything else?
No. Do you have any good questions?
You know what? You guys have any questions? We just had a lot of good comments, but no questions came in. Looks like.
Well, with that, we'll just sign off for the week and call it a day.
We'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys so much for listening.
And Courtney, where can they follow you and your journey?
You guys can follow me on Instagram at The Nutrition Chick.
Okay, Nutrition Chick.
So she is also a coach for Team Elite Physique, has been since 2019?
It was technically December of 2020.
2020,
and you do prep, posing, and training?
Yeah, so I pose people. I do preparation for bodybuilding competitions or just lifestyle for Adam over here, head coach. And it's on the coaches link, right? So we all have like our little bios on the team page. I have a special link. So if you guys want to work with me, you can submit an inquiry through teamelitephysique.com. And I have a link in my Instagram bio as well.
You know what we forgot about talking about is your cookbook. How do we forget about that?
I know.
She has a cookbook.
We do. So Coach Sam, one of Adam's other coaches, Sam Catlin and I, we wrote a cookbook, because a lot of times when it comes to the diet, you know, we coach maybe what 50% competitors, but maybe half the people don't compete, or you're in an off season, you know, people can be intimidated by the diet. And we wanted to show people that, you know, macro friendly food can taste good. So a lot of it's going to be dairy and allergen friendly. You know, a lot of people have like autoimmune issues or digestive issues or gut issues. So we're very sensitive to that. We found protein powders that work with that. We've got these awesome, like, I mean, so like dessert recipes, breakfast, lunch, dinner. So if you guys want, our cookbook has 37 recipes and we've got a lot of really positive feedback.
Yeah. So
it's on Amazon.
Congrats on that venture. What's it called?
It's Stacked and Jacked Book of Gains.
Stacked and
Jacked. We were, it's actually
a pretty good name. I like that.
A lot of the names were taken, and that's what we had on the spot.
That's a pretty good like last resort. I mean, Book of Gains. That's cool.
Yep.
That fits you guys. So anyway, with that, thank you guys so much for listening. Talk to you guys later.